What's going on, y'all? This is Mike Brown, and I just wanted to say thank you for tuning into the show. You know, y'all are here for me every week, getting me through these times, and I just wanted y'all to know that I'm here for y'all in whatever way you need. Please feel free to reach out on the social media, through email. Get in touch with me. I'm here for y'all. Know that none of us are going through this alone. Also, I just created a Patreon, so if y'all would like to subscribe to the Patreon, please do. I would love the support. Thank you so much. This is The Art of Letting Go. Yo, what up? This is Mike Brown, and this is The Art of Letting Go.
Letting go!
Thank you, Byron. So today, this is my first show with five guests. Five guests that I've been knowing since like 2004-ish, 2005. You know, so we've all seen each other's journeys at different places and shit. Would y'all mind introducing yourselves to the people? And you can put your graduation year out there too. Who wanna go first?
James Woods, aka that yoga dude. Well, feel free. Xavier grad from 2008, way back in the day. I'm the one that used to bully Mike in college. And I changed my life. I don't bully him no more, and I'm doing okay, y'all.
Go ahead, Crenshaw. Crenshaw, class of 2008. Crenshaw, kind of funny on Instagram. Yeah.
You plug yourself at the end, not at the beginning.
Okay. All right. And then you get a little show started. Acting big time. Okay. Yo, fuck about this show.
Sean Thomas, Mr. Thomas Invest on Instagram, Twitter, and every other thing that you can think of. Class of 2009. And Mike was my freshman year roommate. And Crenshaw was freshman and sophomore. And Crenshaw was my roommate for my... Was it my fourth and fifth year? Yeah.
Okay. You were like 2 years?
Yeah, because we end up staying. Yeah, that's what it was. We got it. We paid $300 rent.
Right, ever. Cheap as hell.
Chris Bourdonnais, class of 2008. Been knowing Mike since freshman year, and half of us used to throw parties together, talk up entertainment forever. And that's our journey.
What's good, y'all? It's your boy, B. Easy. You heard me? I
was being silly. Class of 97.
Byron Young, class of 2006, the old head of the crew. Baby. Come on. I think I've known Mike since, I guess he was a freshman. Shout out to J. Mike, who brought me into the fold. What else did I say? I don't plug myself.
No, you can plug yourself.
Okay, at Prodigy 5002 on Instagram, my gram be popping, and at We Doing It Well is my professional page. I'm a psychiatrist and stuff, and do emotional wellness work, like James too, and with James and with Mike too. Check out our stuff, doingitwell.org. Check it out. Hey, Chris, what made you change your name?
I don't know. I guess I wanted something related to comedy, and I can't remember what it was before. So,
good marketing strategy.
Yeah.
Not as good as Sean's background, but close.
Funny.
So how are y'all doing? How y'all doing during this time?
I'll go first.
Double Dutch.
I'll go first. I'm doing a lot better this week. I feel like it really took me about a month to get used to not being able to run free and get acclimated to stuff. This has been a lot better week of me settling into my routine and just feeling better about all the stuff. Yeah, so I feel a lot better this week and moving forward and stuff. I'm doing good now. I had some good conversations, some good interaction. I killed it on karaoke last night.
Sure did.
I'm doing a lot better, so I appreciate you asking, man. Working my way through it.
What did you sing, James?
I see you looking at me. I can tell by your eyes that you're feeling me. And I really want you to close to me. So would you dance with me? Mm-mm, dance with me. 112, dance with me, circa 2002.
I'm glad you came through, man. Shit. What made you do
it? I'm kidding. I was on Instagram and I was like, oh yeah, it's that time. And ooh. I wanted to support, man. And it was a good time seeing people and seeing Mike do his thing. Like it felt like a good time, and I definitely needed to have a good time. And so, and I wanted to show my skills as an artist as well.
I feel that. How about you, Sean?
I'm doing better, man. The first 2-3 weeks was like a weird place, because like I didn't really know how to really feel. Like I'm used to like kind of, I'm in a routine and I have to stay busy in order for me to be productive. Like I had too much time in my hand. So I didn't know how school was going to be. But the bright side of those first 2 weeks was I got to spend a lot more time with my daughter. So like that was like super fun. Like that was the only thing I was really worried about. I wasn't really worried about school or my students. You know, that's weird to say. And then probably like last week was the first time I felt like normal or back to myself, where I was just like everything started clicking again. Because at first I was just just in a different mindset. Like I didn't know what to really think or how to feel. But now I'm kind of in my groove, and so I feel real good now, real good.
What is that like having a child during this time?
It's a combination of, well, we took her out of daycare. Like for me, you know, like before you have a child, you just think about yourself. If I didn't have a child, I probably wouldn't think about Corona as bad as I do, because I like even taking her out of daycare, took her out like mid-March. And some people were like, you're taking her out too early. Like, you know, it's not that serious, but I would hate to think or something that her to get real sick while she's at daycare and I'm at home. You know what I'm saying? Like that'd be kind of weird for me. So, it's weird. It's having a kid during this time for me is, you know, scary, but it's fun at the same time, because I get to spend a lot of time with her and kind of see the personality that the daycare people always tell me she have. Because when you work, you only get to see your child, like at least for me, probably 2 or 3 hours a day, because she goes to sleep, you know, a little while after daycare. So, and now I kind of get to see the real her. So it's kind of been fun.
Crenshaw.
Yeah, like everybody else, kind of getting into
a better place. I'm sorry. I got a question. My bad.
Go ahead.
Cutting off, Crenshaw. But Sean, do you take your kid out? Your kid, I'm sorry, what's your daughter's name again? Sydney.
Yeah.
Do you take Sydney out in public?
Our neighborhood, like we have like, it's, you know, pretty nice community, so that I could take her around the lakes and stuff like that. So we go on our walks. So I don't know if that's considered public or not, like, because there's nobody near us, but we go on our daily walks. Probably like 2 or 3 miles a day. It's around the neighborhood. But as far as like around people, no. So somebody may be jogging past, but usually people like go to the other side or something close, or not close, but we do go either in the backyard or go on our walks.
I like the flex of your neighborhood. You got a backyard, you live in a pretty nice area. I like that.
Got a 10-mile lake out back. Catfish, delicious.
People do be fishing in the lake, though. That's crazy, though. But, yeah.
But, yeah, any more questions? it's been cool. It definitely has been an adjustment to just being – I'm a fairly homebody person already, but just not being able to leave and – not having nowhere to go, like, even if you, like, trains and buses and shit is still running, but ain't shit open to even go nowhere. So, getting used to that, and, yeah, definitely the windowless room is kind of, that's a little bit more difficult than previous. And so, this was supposed to be just like, you come here and sleep and be living my life out there, but now it's like, oh, shit, I gotta be in here hours at a time. So that takes some adjustment, but other than that, I feel like with all the COVID shit, I guess since I haven't been directly affected by it, it's still just like this kind of a theoretical thing. Almost, I understand it's real and all that, but it's still just like it's happening out there, but kind of feels like swine flu or somewhere. Yeah, it was something that's happening, but I don't know. I ain't got sick myself yet, so. But, you know, hanging in there, starting to come to grips with the normalcy of the weirdness.
Yeah. Be right. Easy.
Is that me? I thought you wanted to save the coolest one for last. Go ahead, Chris.
That's why I saved Chris.
You want me to go or Chris?
Yeah, nigga, you. <Shit. laughs>
Oh, I get it. You said that's why I said Chris for last. I get it. So y'all know I'm pretty extroverted. I'm a mixed brother. And so it was definitely hard, particularly those first 2 weeks. I didn't feel sad, but I definitely probably looked sad in terms of just laying on my couch in my drawers eating chips and shit. I was doing a lot of eating chips in my drawers, watching TV. But no, it's actually been actually a blessing in disguise. So because I do so many activities and so much randomness, like that's like a chunk of my life, I just had this huge vacuum that I've like had to add some structure to. And so I always was a praying person, but a bit more structured about when I do it. And then I meditate. I use a really dope app called Balance to do that. And then I do these brain like training games on an app called Elevate, which is cool. And then I get active. I've been working out outside, like, so running, bike riding and stuff like that. So just stuff I like either never really did well or in a structured, consistent way I've been doing. So, and also like just emotionally, I feel like, because I'm always active, I never had enough time to just sit and be present with myself. I was teasing, I think I told James this the other day. It's almost like those one of those 10-day retreats where they say, like, once you go on one of those 10-day silent retreats, once you go on the day three, people always say you start to get all this unconscious stuff just bubbling up that you have to kind of reckon with. And so I feel like I've been still and silent like that, and it's been powerful. It's been good. Yeah.
Nope.
That's up. Yeah. So I don't know. I've been a little worried, still worried about this situation. Just because early on it was worse for sure. Like I had probably trouble sleeping some nights.
Oh, shit.
And usually I sleep very well. I don't know. I'm just so worried about how far this is going to dip for everybody in their pocket and health wise. And, you know, if it could be a Great Depression type of situation. So that's a little fear for me. As far as being at home by myself, I'm good with that. Like I've just been working out and cooking and I haven't really been feeling any bad energy there. But the like larger things that are happening kind of outside of my space, I am concerned about still.
That's real.
How are you, bro?
You said what?
How are you?
I'm doing good, man. You know, in the beginning, I was kind of fucked up, like just really, really just feeling lost without being around people. Because I don't really have to be with people all the time, but just having that opportunity to connect with people and like just see people and shit, I kind of get fueled off of that. So, it was really tough at first, but I think what kind of turned it around for me was when I had my first online class with the kids and realizing like, you know, I have to be stronger for something else than myself, you know, be strong for myself as well. But I know it's other people that are dependent on me as well. So I got to get myself right in order to be there for those people. So I did.
You know, it's funny that you said it, like being yourself, like you give, like giving yourself, I think because I give myself so much that this time was like needed to kind of recalibrate, to see, to help me realize, like, you know, what is, you know, your family is always important, but it got to make me realize even more, like, your little one and everything else around you is more important than kind of what your goal or what your ambition is. Like, of course, you still want to do that, but you kind of have to realize, like, what the important things of life are. So that's kind of, that made me think of that when you said that.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking at this time right now as a, you know, almost like a computer and updating the operating system. You know, some of the shit that just don't work for the new program, I got to get rid of that shit, and I got to, you know, work out the bugs and shit. And that's kind of what it's been for me.
Definitely.
What are y'all routines looking like right now? Like, do y'all have routines in place?
I've still been working, so, I mean, that's taking up a chunk of my time. But aside from the stuff that I said about the meditation and the prayer and the brain training in the morning, I try to do something athletic at least once a day. So, like, in the evenings, I'll come home and I'll go out to Santa Monica and run, or take my bike out there and ride, or I'll just ride around downtown or run around downtown. So, yeah, it's been cool. I'm a big guy, so I never consider myself a runner, but it's actually been pretty nice. I can't say I've ever felt the runner's high, but the notion of, like, getting my second wind and keeping going, and so running about, like, 1.5 to 2 miles a day, it's been fun. It's been cool. And I also was taking the steps. I do, like, 30 flights of steps or whatever. I'm just trying to keep my body and my mind and my spirit healthy. I've also been eating pretty bad, but I only eat once a day, pretty much. Like, I feel like I don't have a reason to eat 3 times a day because I don't do nothing other than that one little workout. So I'm trying to get my diet right, but it's not the worst. But yeah, I definitely go to Del Taco. James and Mike put me on a Del Taco, so I'll be going to Del Taco.
Same thing I said. kind of speaking to the runner's high. I was thinking last night, because I went running last night. I was like, man, you know, I'm relaxing so much and doing so much shit that, you know, I can't really think of too many things that raise my heart rate like that. So, you know, what if anything is, like, bringing y'all some excitement or, like, getting your heart moving fast for you right now?
Like, physical type shit or just?
Like physically, emotionally, like, you know, it's shit emotionally that.
Going to the store. To the store, going to Target, going out. I'll be anxious and don't look at me, don't touch me. But at the same time, I don't want to be weird. Like, I want to connect with people still. And it's awkward now hiding behind a mask. Not hiding behind a mask, but having a mask up and seeing how people interact with you and stuff. And it's like, I can't give my obligatory, I'm a good black man smile. I'm safe. I gotta kind of get that energy in a different way. So really going and worrying about touching the gas pump, worrying about signing something, worrying about giving somebody some cash, and like, oh man, I gotta hurry up and go wash my hands, really got my heart rate I think a little bit faster. So just waiting for that part to be over. I'm ready for the social distancing to be gone.
Yeah. I don't know if y'all know KP.
Yeah.
All right. So KP, like, that's, you know, Xavier. So she's one of my daughter's godparents. So she has two. So she, like, she's one of two people who comes over, like, you know, who can come over, you know, with social distance things. So when she comes over, that's like kind of raise the heart rate, because it's like fun, because like interaction with like a person, you know what I'm saying? Like that. I never thought I'd miss that, because I like being isolated for the most part, but like being forced to be isolated is like different than doing it yourself. So that kind of like is pretty exciting. And like James said, just going to the store, like sometimes I go for a drive, like an hour or two just to like look outside, you know what I mean? See what's going on. Like, even if I don't park anywhere, I'm just going to drive and just kind of just go.
Yeah, I did maybe earlier this week or last week. I like rented a car for like a day and then just drove around for a while just to get out and shit. So that was dope. And then this week I started like doing these like online open mics and shit, and kind of started writing again. So I hadn't been doing that pretty much probably like this first month of all this shit. So that was exciting, like figuring out, oh shit, I can come up with new ideas and shit like that. So.
Are you more creative now?
Not really. Like, I wasn't doing nothing creative, really. Shit, like I said, like, I just started, like, rewriting and going over shit. So, not being able to interact and shit, not, you know, seeing stuff, that shit kind of had you fucked up.
Yeah.
So I actually, there's a girl I've been dating, and dating, just going on dates. But I like her a lot. and have been more consistent with her than I've probably been with anybody in a long time. And she's very special, I must admit. And at the same time, I feel like I'm like learning new things about myself being this consistent. And it's been a lot of growth, for sure. And I think in some ways, it's a testament to her just for being really dope. In terms of just like, I've been like a commitment for forever. And so just being in therapy for long enough to like really go in and really explore what that's about has been good. And it's nice to see like movement in that. And so the notion of being able to like stick around and date someone for longer than like a month or two has been nice. This has taught me a lot. And also in that quiet time, I talked about like this, like just exploring what I feel and why I feel what I feel and all those things. So yeah, that's been a cool thing for me. The commitment or just being consistent about dating one particular person has been a thing I've struggled with for a long time. And so it's been nice to like be able to stick around and really enjoy it and kind of learn and grow and that kind of thing. It's cool.
Can I ask you a question, Byron?
Sure.
So is it because of being kind of quarantined that you feel you are being more connected to this young lady, or is it something deeper or different?
So I actually think before the quarantine had happened, it was already happening. But I definitely think the quarantine was like an enzymatic thing that like kind of progressed it more expeditiously, if that makes sense. So yeah, I definitely think it was definitely happening before the quarantine. And I hope she would say the same, but definitely the quarantine is definitely giving it more depth and weight or whatever. So like she's pretty much the only person I see during the quarantine. It's been fun. Yeah, it's been really cool. And again, I haven't had a consistent person I did consistently in many years. That's a thing. But yeah, no, I do think the quarantine played a role in why I've been able to kind of explore what it means to me more, because usually I'm always doing so much stuff that I don't have time to do to like really, or not that I don't have time, I haven't made time to do it, but having this time has been like reminding me of like how special it can be to connect with someone who's really dope. Like just kind of like, if I would have lived the rest of my life just kind of dating superficially, I probably would have been fine with that. And I would have been missing out on stuff I just didn't know I was missing out on. It's been good.
When you with somebody like quarantine, it forces you not to be like kind of physically touching and doing that nature. You kind of forced to like talk and learn more about the person. So is that, like you said, that's what kind of
the notion of not really going on dates with other people, not going to do all kinds of other, I do something every night. So I've never given anybody consistent time in terms of like, not just dating other people, but also like going to basketball events constantly, going to art events constantly, doing things on my weekends. And so the notion of not making time and space, but the notion of making time and space and finding out that it's like really special to do that, is something that I think this has been helpful with. And again, I do think I was doing that before the quarantine started, but the quarantine definitely helped make it solidify it, I think. So it's been nice. It's been cool. It's been really cool. But not just in terms of the whole dating thing, like even just in terms of my own emotional life and my own emotional world and my own emotional growth, like just having this much time to sit and think about what I think and why I think what I think, and having those situations where you think you thought a particular thing about a thing, but you don't really know till you're like challenged with it. And so having experiences where I'm challenged and actually have to see if I like really am who I say I am, you know what I'm saying? Like be like, oh, I would not be this person in this situation, and you don't know till you get in that situation. So it's been like nice. An
example that you can speak to? Is there something specific that you don't mind sharing or that you challenge yourself on?
Like for instance, just being a happy person. Like I'm a generally happy guy, and I realize a lot of the things that I do are very nurturing, fun, kind of fill in the void kind of thing. So like I do a lot of really happy type of events, but like my life is pretty fun. I always go somewhere, do something or whatever. But the notion of like, okay, so you're a happy guy, but when all that stuff is stripped away and it's just you sitting in your house for 24 hours, where's your joy then? Like, is your joy really this internal thing? Or is it this thing that you've been like kind of piecemeal, filling in piecemeal with all these activities and events and all this stuff like that? It's right. Cool, like, and checking myself to be like, oh, okay, this is different. And also like to eyes up and be like, oh, well, you know, I do get to keep a sense of my joy, and that's cool. Like, that's probably the biggest example of like, oh, shoot, like, who am I when all the fun stuff ends and I just sit and, I'm, you know, I'm not Mr. having fun with my friends. I'm just sitting by myself. Right. It's been powerful for sure.
Hey, you used the word earlier. You said enzymatic. I'm about to Google that thing later.
Enzymatic. like something that helps to catalyze a thing.
Okay, cool.
You like said enzyme. Expeditiously. Got T.I. on the phone with us.
Right.
Shoot, Byron here was bringing him joy. What's bringing y'all joy right now?
For me, talking to my sisters, that always makes me really happy when I talk to them on the phone. And working out makes me happy too. But you know, just connecting with them that way, just talking to family on the phone. At Easter, we had like a small family gathering. So that was nice. Yeah, that's for me.
Kershaw.
Your show now, son? I don't know. Definitely doing, I guess, being creative again has been one of those things. And I don't know. I guess it's weird, but like just going outside for walks and shit, that's pretty cool. Walking further and, you know, learning new things or learning like new spaces and seeing the neighborhood, I guess, that I've are areas of the neighborhood that I wouldn't have paid attention to and wouldn't have learned about. Finding a new park is very exciting for me. So that's, yeah, just shit like that, discovering new shit.
That's what's up.
Being outside, like, I'm always, like, in the house, you know what I'm saying? Or I'm at from an event or from A point A to point B, or I'm always inside a building or something like that. So just actually just being outside, you know, just makes me happy. Like, I didn't realize, like, how much I really enjoyed it or how much I missed it. So just being at the park or, like, not necessarily or just walking around or riding a bike or something like that. Those little activities that some people do on a normal basis, but I really don't. So now I think it's something that I'm going to continue doing even after get off house arrest.
House arrest.
Yeah, I'm definitely a nature guy and always incorporated into what I do, and now I have more time to do it. And I really found out how I was leaning on my routine to not fall into like just despair and funk and anxiety. But my routine kind of gave me a false sense of, yeah, everything's normal because I'm doing the same thing, but stuff ain't normal. So I really had to look at my routine and like, all right, James, you're going to have to switch it up, adjust, because the whole world is moving around you. You can't just lock yourself in. And I really just been having that realization of like, okay, James, you can switch it up. You can stick to a lot of parts of your routine and carry them over, but your routine is not going to save you from the world changing. Like, you got to address that and move with it too. And realizing that has brought me more joy in stepping into doing more Zoom stuff, doing more just internet stuff in general, like fun internet stuff. And yeah, and I'm in a relationship, got a little, and spending time with her is nice. Spending time with my family, you know.
Why you got some relative when you start talking about?
Yeah, you? I know, right? Like that X, that Kelly X that came out.
Exactly. You feel me?
The way you just got out of jail.
I know, for real. That's exactly what I thought. Got out the pen.
I was here for 5 years, you know. Never been tested.
Right. Girl, help me down. Help me down.
It's at good my ramen. Being able to connect with somebody and right. Show them love. And I was guarding my heart all this time.
If we was enzymatic, you feel me? Yeah, man.
That's what's up, man. Sean asked a question. Well, he said something earlier about freshmen in college right now and just how they probably going through it. but I mentioned how we went through Katrina. So I was curious to know if y'all would have any advice for somebody that just entered college or in the beginning of college going through this.
Now, I would say, like, so I had some, in my family, I had some corona scares. Like, some of my family members got really sick, including even my sister who got pretty sick. And so at the time, I was terrified, right? Like, I was like, oh, people who get sick like that, I don't know if they make it. So I was like, oh, my God, like, my sister and two of my favorite closest cousins, I was terrified. And it made me realize just how much, like, I have a very big extended family, and I've always loved them and appreciated them. I've never been distant or nothing like that. But it made me realize how much I, like, care about my folk, like, because I was like, man, when the threat of losing them was, like, heartbreaking. And so I would say whatever you're going through, just make sure, like, you keep your tribe close, and, like, all that petty stuff about, like, having arguments and then not talking for months or days or whatever, all the stuff about, like, you know, trying to prove a point or whatever, all that petty stuff, let that go. Like, that'll never serve you, because tomorrow's not promised. You never know. And so I know people say that in, like, a cliche way, but, like, for real, like, let that like, kind of anger and rage and all that guilt and all that shame can weigh you down. And so really let that go. Like, that would not serve you well. And so I think I think sometimes it's harder to realize that as a younger person, because you're so focused on, like, trying to be right or trying to get your point across or whatever for stuff that's just not worth it. So in that old people wisdom, like, let stuff go. Like, if it ain't that serious usually. And so I think that's something that this is reminding me about, like, yo, keep your tribe, you know, friends, family, otherwise, if that's your tribe, hold them tight and, like, never let petty stuff get in the way.
I like that.
Yeah. What was the question again, Mike?
The question was, and I'm gonna jump in and take it. I know when Katrina first hit, it was a lot of uncertainty, not really knowing what was going on. And so it was just a mad scramble, and it was so much information out there of, like, Xavier destroyed, and I'm going to this school, I'm going to that school. And luckily, shout out to Morehouse, we got to go there for free, and they gave us money and free food and everything, and Atlanta was crazy. But it was just so much information. All of us scattered. Chris went up north. I know y'all went to Houston and did y'all thing out there. But I would just tell them, go with what feel kind of right for you in that moment. Take it day by day, moment by moment. And at the end, everything gonna work out. Because after everything happened, we all was able to come back still. But I had to take it moment by moment, enjoy where we was. So I'll switch it up to the premium page.
You going, Sean?
Nah, that's you, Sean.
Funny. I would say, like, kind of similar to what James was saying, but limit some of the information you bring in and shit. Like, don't watch the news constantly. Like, have a set limit on how much of that shit you consume and bring in, and just be aware of the I guess it's like the negative shit that you kind of let into your life at this time, and try not to dwell on that. And I feel like I have something to say, but I forgot. But yeah, mainly that off the top, just really limit the amount of news, and especially like the negativity of the news. Like, you ain't got to be watching the death tolls and shit like that over and over. And yeah, man, look for the positive and stuff, and for the most part.
Yeah. That depressed me early on, honestly, watching the news every day and just having everything, like, I think that's what kind of had me in a weird space too, just going back to everything, like, because you would see it and you couldn't help but to watch it. And right. I remember in our group chat, we was like, only positive stuff, right? And it's because we kept posting negative. And it was like, you tried to, but it was so much negative stuff coming out. And I think when you know, I'm pretty sure y'all did the same thing, made a conscious effort, just like, man, I ain't looking at that stuff today.
Right.
Kind of have yourself in a better mood. So that's real good advice, y'all. Real good advice.
I think another thing is been highlighted how just quickly, it's highlighted how our infrastructure isn't nearly as strong. Like, the American health infrastructure isn't nearly as resilient as you'd like to think for this big industrialized rich country. Like, it's like if 3% of the mortality rate is like 3%, like folks are doing it. Like, our hospital systems are like struggling under the pressure of it. And it just doesn't seem, I mean, it's a lot of pressure, but it doesn't seem like the kind of pressure that you would make you think that a hospital system in a very rich country would struggle under. So it's just been scary of being like, man, this is, it's just a lot of lies that you kind of just assume to make yourself feel comfortable are like being exposed. And so it's like, oh man, like what's the truth? Mm. Sorry, Chris.
No, it's fine. That's a good point. I'll touch on what you said and then I'll say some of my own thoughts. But I don't know. I think it comes down to money spent. You know, it's like, you know, it's a capitalist system. So you're going to only put enough resources in of what you think is going to happen. So right. You're not worried about the 500-year flood. You're just like, okay, let's make it the next 20, 25 years or whatever. It is unfortunate. I'm surprised we don't have a good testing system as of yet. That to me is a bizarre the hospital thing, because so many other countries got testing so fast. I think that's like a larger issue maybe with some people in our government. But as far as like advice to somebody that's in college, I would say this too shall pass. And also make an action plan if you can, of basically thinking, if this happens, I'll do this. If that happens, I'll do this. And really just setting a path for yourself to be ready, because now you know it's a horrible situation, so now you can kind of prepare yourself for it.
I feel that. And I, you know, when you said the financial thing, it made me think about Katrina when we got them checks. And shit, I wish somebody would manage my check or some shit, you know. So I think that's great. And I think all y'all advice like kind of reflected y'all as well. Like everything y'all gave like really reflected y'all as people. I think for me, I would probably tell somebody to you know, tune into themselves and deal with they sneak in the bedroom now.
This nigga Tommy two times.
Hey Tommy P.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah, Tommy P look old and grown. Tommy P, oh, man, tell the people who you are, man. You just jumped in the conversation. Tell the people.
PJ Tommy P.
Oh, are we live right now?
We live, Charlemagne.
But we run it. What
y'all talking about?
We talking about what advice you give to somebody that's in college right now. Just being that we all been through Katrina, what advice would you give to somebody that's dealing with this right now?
Dealing with this while they're in school?
Yeah.
Man, I mean, just try your best to stay focused. I mean, this is a major distraction. So I remember our biggest thing, we got to Atlanta. I don't know if y'all touched on it. Was just trying to stay focused. Just trying to stay focused, man. Because I remember somebody had said it who they didn't go to Xavier, they went to another school in New Orleans, but they were just like, you know, they said, yeah, you know, I'm registered and I'm good. But they said, you know, back into school mode. And that's you know, that can be tough. It's getting back in that school mode sometimes. You know, in the midst of all this going on. But that's what I say.
How's it for you being a dad right now?
Man, it has its great times and it has its crazy times. But I mean, I wouldn't trade it for nothing, man. I know Sean echoes the same thing. I heard him on the podcast on his episode. You know, it's y'all can hear my background. Stop. It's a great thing, man, and it's something I've always looked forward to.
I got a question for Mike Brown and Crenshaw and myself. What we gonna do with this stimulus package?
I don't know. I haven't got my shit yet. I don't know. I'm I ain't got no job yet, so it's probably gonna either go into paying rent for a couple more months, just to stay out here while I look for something, and then yeah, man, I don't know. What you got planned for the money, Jane?
I'm gonna invest it.
Like in stocks or something, or just in like
in yourself?
I'm gonna just give it all to Sean and Chris. Y'all split it up and invest it. I don't know.
What you gonna do with it, Mike?
Man, I'm gonna probably just put it in the bank, man. I don't need it right now. I ain't gonna do nothing with it. Ain't nowhere to go. Ain't nothing to buy. You know. So I'm gonna just put it away.
I'm paying off all this debt. Anything that I got, cars, credit cards, and trying to be debt free in 2020.
Let me claim Sydney. Let me claim Sydney. I can get an extra 500.
It's no, it's messed up. We don't even get her though, because she was born after we filed our taxes.
Wow.
They go off of last year's taxes.
That's some bullshit.
Yeah, so she's not on this one. So they don't know that we have a kid because we didn't, you know what I mean? Because they go off of last year's taxes.
How old is your kid?
She turned 1 in March. So we don't get that extra. We just get off of just us. So
that's some bullshit.
I know.
Tommy P, how are you keeping your joy during this time?
I'm somebody that likes to take time to like go somewhere and do something. So it's a little tough. I don't know. I mean, I try to find new interesting shows to watch, or a new interesting movie that I haven't seen. Like, you know, I try and play a video game with the knucklehead in here. I mean, yeah, that's about it. You know, I'm more concerned with joy than mine.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, like he doesn't always understand, you know, what's going on. Or, you know, I mean, what kid at 5 years old wants to, you know, be in the house every single day?
Right.
You know, and you can't really break down to him that, hey, man, like, I'm doing this because I'm safe.
How do you explain that? Like, how do you convey that to your kid and all that?
Well, I mean, I've told him, like, you know, because he's a daddy's boy. So, like, anywhere I go, he wants to be. And so, like, if I go inside the Chipotle or something to go grab some food real quick, like, he wants to come. So, like, having to explain him every time, like, no, you can't go. You know, that, you know, I don't want to get you sick. You know, he's starting to understand, like, okay, I don't like being sick. So, for whatever reason, there's some virus out there.
Christian, who are some of your comedy influences, like, other than myself, who really inspired you to want to get out there and do this kind of thing?
I mean, you mean like professional comics that shit like that, or
people who we would know?
So like Bill Burr, somebody I watch a lot. Patrice O'Neal, definitely Dave Chappelle. Probably those three off the top of my head.
So you like smart comics, not like, you know what I mean, like kind of make you think, but like kind of real world, kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. Those probably like my top, like Chris Rock, definitely up there. So yeah. But watching a lot of YouTube honestly made me like be able to start doing it and kind of seeing how normal people are that do it. And it's not like some divine calling necessarily, like it's just a thing that you work on and just get up and start doing it and get better at it. So
do you think watching all the movies and stuff like help, like growing up? Because you know, you always like, you like to laugh, like, you know what I'm saying, like you're always right. Laughing. So you think like that helped you kind of figure out what is funny, or you just kind of insight?
It might shape what I find funny, I guess, and what I look at to be funny. But it's a different thing. It's a different thing, like watching and then kind of starting to do it. Like that's a whole other aspect of it, and trying to figure out how to make other people that you don't know laugh and shit, that don't have the context of knowing you and knowing your sense of humor. So being able to just take those ideas and put them in a way that they can just be immediately digestible to people.
So like, I feel like you conquered like your worst fear with comedy in a way, because like, you know, everybody, you know, all in college, like you were always seen like the shy guy, you know what I mean? You're funny, you make dope, but you kind of like shy. So yeah. What kind of made you like taking the stage seem like that's the most scariest thing like ever?
Really honestly, like I said, like watching YouTube and like being able to see how So like you'll watch like a comedy special and it's like, and you might see like, oh shit, they just come up with these dope jokes and this is hilarious for that thing. But if you like watch a lot of YouTube videos and you can kind of see like how the joke evolved over time, or like you see somebody telling a joke in a video that was years before, like, oh shit, they've been working on this shit for like years trying to get this down for the special and shit. So or like watch them in interviews and they kind of say the same ideas kind of over and over. And it's like, oh, it's not this thing where they just come up on the spot. Like it's just really like anything else. Like you just work at it for a while. So
do any of you guys, other than Mike, have any artistic like endeavors that you guys are thinking about stepping out into that you haven't, or even Mike, if there's something you haven't done yet? I know Mike, you do a lot of art stuff already. But any of y'all got some like hidden artistic stuff that y'all thinking about putting out there more in the world?
I wish.
I don't know, man. I just be doing what I feel like. I really.
I said except for Mike. I just being silly.
I'm being forced to be more creative through my marketing with the stuff that I do, creating posts, using images, and really figuring out what works. So like through graphics and just different platforms, doing the dance challenges and all that kind of stuff. But just it's forced me to be more creative.
So Mike, I know you like I've seen you dabble in pretty much every type of creative medium I can think about, from like graphic design to music to beats to the podcasting or whatever. Are there any artistic things that you haven't tapped into that you want to? Because I can't think of one that you haven't done that from visual art to performing art. Yeah, anything you haven't done that you still want to do?
I don't know yet. I don't know, nothing I can think of off the top of my head.
What's your favorite? Like, you know what I mean? Like your thing that you feel like you most talented at? Or that you most passionate, or talent or passion, you know, could be the same thing, I guess.
I would say I'm probably most talented at talking to people.
Does it matter which age group or just?
No matter what age group. I think just being able to connect with motherfuckers is like my talent.
So good talent.
In front of kids, I could sit in front of some elementary kids and do that shit. I could go sit in Inglewood by my family out there. I could talk to some college people. I could talk to some old people and still be able to make that connection and just get people to open up. It's very, very weird to me, what used to be, how people open up to me. I've kind of just accepted that shit now.
I feel like you're in a different space. So, like, what's your, like, your worst fear at this point?
I think it might be fearless on the internet, man.
You know what's so crazy? I just told myself recently, I was like, man, I can't go back to being how I used to be. Like, I can't act shy now. I can't hold myself back because I'm not doing it right now. So, but my biggest fear is probably not accomplishing all the things that I'm supposed to accomplish in this lifetime.
Yeah.
What about you?
How has this all affected your life goals or your life plans? Like, I set some plans in place and it affected me because it affected my income and stuff. So things got to be pushed and moved around. Any of y'all have major plans that got affected by this? Byron getting married.
And for me, and I mean, you know, especially like coming up on that 100th episode, I had plans of like doing shit, but I think rather than thinking so far ahead, for me right now, I shifted into what's going on right now, you know? So it's like, what can I do right now? How can I be effective right now? Because it ain't really too much that you can fucking do. So you got to simplify the plan. You know, I think we talked about like, what I really want to do right now is just bring joy to people. I feel like that's all I got to do. It don't have to be no real complex plan of how it has to be done.
The thing that probably affected my major plan was like Invest Fair, you know, that I was doing. Like it was supposed to have take place last weekend. And I had like, in March, I had like over 300 people registered. So my goal was to have 600 people registered to attend. So because you know, this happened, I had to like pivot and we had to do everything virtually. So the numbers wasn't, you know, it was cool, but it wasn't what I expected to be. So I was putting so much energy into that for like a couple months. And then for it to just be like, you know, can't happen. You know, that was kind of not cool. You know what I mean? But you got to pivot, you got to transition. And, you know, it was able to open up to an audience that wasn't going to be there. So that's probably the biggest thing for me. You know, because you have your yearly goals or monthly goals, and then you're not able to reach it. So you kind of got to adjust it. So you got to feel like, am I successful? It's something I can't control. It's something I couldn't control. So I can't really say it wasn't a success. So
something you told me, Sean, that still kind of stands out to me during this time when we were talking was about just building during this time and not so much feeling like you got to just be putting shit out and, you know, have it right now, like building your audience or building whatever it is that you're trying to do. And it's funny, somebody else told me the same thing, just basically like, you know, how you show up for people right now is what you'll get back in the long term of all of this.
Yep. Yep. When you build like right now, like the relationships and the content or whatever you're building, and you know, you're being personable with people, when everything back to normal, they're going to be fans of yours because they're going to remember, you know, how you made them feel or you had that relationship already. So even from a business standpoint, this is like the perfect time to reach out to people for whatever business that you have and to build those relationships and not necessarily ask for like money, but just kind of ask for how you doing, just building right. personal relationships. So therefore when you know, things get better, they're going to be loyal to you.
Real talk. Like, you know, I'm happy to see what Sean doing down here. Though. And,
appreciate it, bro.
It's a good thing, man. And I didn't know down here on the, Sean's okay. On one of the other episodes that you used to teach in Sunnyside,
Addicts Middle School, man. That's why I first started teaching that.
Man, okay, yeah, you made it.
Hey, bro, man.
You made it through Sunnyside. You doing all right?
Yeah. Any other school is cake. You know what I'm saying? Compared to that, so you know.
What's going on, Council?
Oh man, I'm good. I'm good.
Hey, I'm both
working from home. Crazy. You know. Freaking, I'm trying to stay busy. That's basically it. Watching the stock market burn in flames. So,
shit. Y'all's, did work's kind of slow down? Because, I mean, all the studios and stuff have kind of come to a halt. So,
yeah,
y'all kind of preparing.
Yeah, things have slowed down a bit. But the group I'm in now, it's like the Business Affairs Animation Group. So, they're still doing some things. But I'm supposed to be moving over to live action next month, but I don't know if that's going to happen because, you know, who's going to onboard me. So yeah, but I'm still been staying busy. Like, you know, contracts are being sent out and revisions are being sent out and people are getting paid. So, but I don't know how long they can sustain it. The parent company released $100 million global relief campaign. So for like aid workers and child education and people in the entertainment space, that at least made me feel a little better. Like, if they got $100 million, should be okay for a little bit.
Right.
Yeah. But,
how about for you? Have you been having to go into court and stuff, or is that been kind of shut down?
Yeah. I was transferred to the juvenile division. So I've been dealing with, you know, with kids now. In their jail, what they call detention. Anytime we have a detention hearing, you know, where one of them is in custody, like we have to go in and have one of those hearings every so often to make sure it's still a good reason for them to be in detention, you know, without being released or whatever. So those are the only reasons why we have to go up there, is to, you know, go up there and have a hearing with them and their parents and the judge and their attorney.
Have they been releasing more juveniles or people just in general because of Corona?
Yeah. We've really tried to release as many of them as possible. It pretty much got down to the point where if you had anything that didn't involve a gun or straight up murder, then we were trying to get you out of there. So So what do you pretty think most,
like, what do you think of that policy?
I think it's pretty good because now you're only really keeping one of them now is, you know, fear of public safety. So, you know, if somebody has three aggravated robberies, you know, you may not, you know, you might want to, at least at that point, you've gotten rid of a lot of them, and then at least there, you know, there's less of them in there at that point. But, you know, you have to, it's a fine line or a hard line to try and, you know, manage the public safety aspect of it and then also somebody's life at the same time.
Has your job at Houston been providing like masks and gloves and all that, or are you just
kinda... Yeah, they provide, well, not really the whole mask thing. I mean, they give you one mask but then they have gloves every day. They have hand sanitizer everywhere in the building. You know, we've been doing everything through Zoom for the most part. So I may have to go in the building, but you know, I'm like in my office or something.
Okay.
So like I'm in my office, the juveniles are doing Zoom from where they are. And then the defense attorney's doing Zoom from somewhere else. You know, the judge is in the court. And then the parents are in a whole nother area as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Y'all happy right now?
Yeah, man. Health.
Happy enough.
Yeah. I think health, good health. And I'm still motivated, you know? So, yeah.
Mike, I feel like, I do feel like I'm happy. I feel like, sometimes I go through very long stretches of like living the kind of life that doesn't really challenge my joy. And so lately it's been a challenge. It's been nice to like, to be challenged and still get to sustain it and know that it's something real. Sometimes I feel like I'm in such a good space that I feel like I'm almost delusional. And I'm like, something ain't right. Cause you know, a lot of times folks around me don't seem to be in that space. So I'd be like, I don't know, is this real? Is this really how I feel? I don't know. And so it's been nice that lately I've had some challenges that like, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm about that for real. So that's been really nice. And I feel like, you know, I come from a very under-resourced situation. And I feel like I had so many elders around me and so many people around me that showed me all kinds of things. I got to learn from their mistakes and learn from their ways of living and that kind of thing. I had particular, very blessed to have a particular mom and a grandma that were pretty special in terms of how they viewed things. And so I think one of the things my mom was very serious about her unconditional love for us. I think it was easy to kind of internalize that and to be pretty easy on myself because of it. And my grandma was also very like serious about never dehumanizing somebody. So even if we had people who are addicted to substances in my neighborhood, she treated them just as good as she treated anybody else. And so I think I took those things really deeply. And I think I'm very appreciative for sure. And I think even when things are difficult, even when I have hard times or feel sad or whatever, I'm appreciative for that too. And so the ability to like really just appreciate just feeling and being and, you know, not necessarily having no goal I have to reach, but just being unconditional with how I like love myself and view myself has really helped me a lot, man. I'm very, very deeply appreciative of that. So, yeah. Thank you for asking that question. I like to reflect on it.
That was deep.
It's my bedtime, y'all. But for real, I love and appreciate y'all. Mike, I appreciate you putting this thing together, man, keeping everybody in contact.
Let the people know where they can find you and what you got going on right now.
This Friday, I'm doing a From Yelling to Yoga webinar where we're talking about how we can use yoga in parenting and working with our kids. You can find that on my Instagram, That Yoga Dude, and check the link and everything. Just check the link in the Yoga Dude Instagram profile.
Is that on Instagram or like Zoom or something? How are you doing that?
It'll be on the Zoom. Mm-hmm. So, or hit us up on the website, www.thatyogadude.com, or feelfree2feelfree.net, feelfree2feelfree.net. You can get more information about what we're doing, especially during this time of, what is this, Corona. I'm going to do a live Instagram. I'm going to have y'all all on there and stuff too. We're just doing a lot. So check us out on our Instagram, Facebook, That Yoga Dude, the website, That Yoga Dude, and feelfree2feelfree.net. Man, and I'm very happy to see myself in these squares amongst all you squares. This is
this man, is, like, this you is lucky really it's being recorded.
It's a powerful group, man. It really is a powerful group. And I appreciate being in this group and being loved and loving y'all in this group. So I'm going to bed. I thank y'all so much for staying connected. We got to do this again. Good night, y'all.
Hey, real quick, James.
Let the people know where they could find y'all and what y'all got going on.
So you can check out my website, doingitwell.org. That's doingitwell.org. You can find me on Instagram at prodigy5002. That's my personal joint. Or on Instagram at WeDoingItWell. And at Twitter at WeDoingItWell. Honored to be here. Oh, and I got a bunch of projects with Mike and James from the inspirational relaxation CD with like hip-hop undertones that my brother Mike produced, and I executive produced, I guess. Some videos for like parent management tips, videos for yoga with beautiful black people in it that James did, and just a bunch of resources around mental health and emotional wellness. And check out the Brilliantly Black too at Brilliantly Black. We've been doing them remotely, so people from all over the world could join, and we use this really dope system called Mentimeter, which is pretty cool. So we've been having fun with that.
How did one go?
Oh, it was dope. It was really good, actually. They've all been really sweet. Like, the platforms work perfectly to do it remotely. It's like, probably, I actually was teasing, it might be better doing them like this than just doing them in person in terms of logistically. It's just so easy and light to lift, you know? Yep. It's been dope. Yeah. And I, like, the last one, like, I had my sister, my niece, my cousins were on it. I had friends from Oakland and Austin and New York and L.A. It was cool, man. It was really cool.
Nice.
I'm going to find out more about that.
Gizzard.
Tommy P, where can the folks find you?
They can't. you can hit up Mike Brown, or you can hit anybody else in here, and they'll tell you how to. Nah, man.
Young Fabulous.
Mr. Thomas Invests. That's like every handle, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff. InvestingYourself365.com. Or you could just Google me.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Name will pop up. A lot of different things. I swear, I said that for Crenshaw. I'll see if you're going to say something. But,
Google me.
Opening your workshops to the public?
Say it again?
You're going to start opening your workshops to the public?
They are. All my workshops open to the public. You know what I'm saying? Next month, when is podcast come out?
I'll probably put this one out, if not this Friday, next Friday.
All right, cool. Well, what we have coming up at the end of the month, I think it's going to be April 30th.
When are you doing your event? Because I'll say
April 30th. April 30th. No, so you can do it now. I mean, you can put it out soon, like whatever. I was just saying, so it'll be time for people to, whatever. Yeah. So April 30th is... We're going to do a virtual stock market workshop for my students. Usually every year we do a workshop in person where they teach like 100 to 150 people, but now they're going to do it virtually. So they're going to lead a workshop and they're going to teach the community or youth as well as adults how to invest and, you know, just different things, financial literacy, how to budget, how to do those different things. So that's going to come up April 30th.
Okay. Crenshaw, where can the people find you?
Find me on Instagram, Crenshaw Kinda Funny. I have yearly updates. Often I post stuff on there. Pretty much Instagram. I'm trying to get better, although not very successful with it. Trying to get better posting more and being more sociable on the social media. But yeah, Crenshaw Kinda Funny IG. That's it.
And last but not least, Chris. Chris, I'm going to have to bring you back for your own episode. It's your first time on the show.
Yeah. My first time too, man. You ain't you don't. Well, I be that one that the forgotten one, man. I swear.
And you feel like you because every time I talk to you, knowing about all the episodes and shit, I feel like you be right there with me, shit.
Boy, I tell you, boy. Yeah, you Chris Crenshaw, Byron. You know y'all, blah. Oh damn, Tommy P on it. Oh yeah, that's right.
Chris, you can find me at Oracle on Instagram. If you like photography or travel or things like that, I'm not as creative as some of these other people with the outside businesses, but mine's is just for fun.
All over the world, Globetrotter.
Right. If you need somewhere to travel or you want to know where to go post-Rona, you holler at Chris.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to close out so we can just talk on this motherfucker.
Oh, hold on. Let me shout out Sean, his workshops. I actually got to go to one of his workshops last week on understanding the stock market. It was a good time. It was good folks in there, and it was nice and definitely very digestible. So plug to Sean's business. Good.
Appreciate it, Byron. Appreciate
it. Using these educated words. He'd be like, majestical.
Digestible, like easy to digest. Oh, come on.
I appreciate
goes down smooth.
Yeah.
I appreciate y'all coming on the show. I appreciate the people listening to the shenanigans. This is Mike Brown.
Shenanigans.
Shenanigans?
Shenanigans in it.
This is Mike Brown. I pretty thought it was that shenanigans.
Art of letting go.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of The Art of Letting Go. If you like what you heard, please be sure to subscribe to us wherever you listen to this podcast and leave a comment. Let us know what you think. Let other people know what you think as well. If you want to get in touch with us, hit us up on all social media at The Art of Letting Go Podcast. Also, you can send me an email, theartoflettinggopodcast@gmail.com, or give us a call. Leave a message. We might play it on the show. 213-394-2773. Also, if you would like to support The Art of Letting Go, we got some really cool merch, as well as we're now on Patreon. You can find us, The Art of Letting Go Podcast. Subscribe to us. Thank you guys for listening. This is Mike Brown, and this is The Art of Letting Go.